What you after?
Turn your eyes to some juice.
Oh, you want the? I can look in the book and that will work.
No, I
don't.
Okay,
fine.
Well, I hope it'll stand up.
Here we go. Good morning, everybody. How you doing today? It's cold out, but it's beautiful outside. Beautiful sunshine. Let's see. How's your week?
Good.
No complaints, no groans and moans. Okay. Let's start today with 333, please. Let's stand. 333. Thank you, Lord, for song. Thank you for the praises, Lord, that we can throw back at you. Thanks for the beautiful day, Lord, the opportunity to be here. Thanks for all that showed up, Lord. So many things, Lord, we have. Just the daily provision. Lord, we don't even think about it. It's always there for us. But, Lord, you provide for us. Thank you for being there. Thank you for being our God. We thank you for our Savior, Lord, who made sacrifice for us, Lord, so that we could be with you one day. Thanks for our pastor being here today. Be of this family, Lord, the loss of the loved one there. Just thank you, Lord, that everything went well yesterday for them. Thank you, Lord, that their family got to come together for that and to be there. Be with us today, Lord, as we study along with pastor. Lord, make pastor the strongest man in the room today, Lord, because he needs it, Lord, to present your message. May it be one that would speak to hearts here today, Lord. If someone needs to get right, Lord, I pray that person would do so before we leave today, Lord. Be with us now as we study in your word, Lord. Just guide and direct. Help us, Lord, to remember to spread some Christian fellowship around. And later on today, Lord, we're going to have a meal. I just pray, Lord, that all goes well also. Thank you for this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see. 739. Our evening service, 6 o'clock. Don't forget that. And also, don't forget, as soon as John gets done, we've got fellowship back there. Got a lot of food. Secret Sisters are going to draw names today. Iron Sharpens Iron is going to meet on the 4th and the 18th of this coming month. Personal Evangelism also is going to be on the 4th and 18th. We as a church are looking for a mission statement that can be used for our church. Hey, if you got some good sayings, come up with them. If you have any suggestions, please write it down and drop it in the basket at the back table. Voting ballots for our annual business meetings coming up. They go out on the 2nd. Ballots will be due in by March 2nd. And the nominate committee will meet on March 3rd. Annual business meeting is scheduled for March the 12th. Thought for the week is, here we go. Are you one of the great shepherd's lambs in his arms? Guys, you'll come forward. We'll take up more and off. Let's pray. Father, we can't even begin to thank you for what you do for us, Lord. So many things we just take for granted, Lord, but you're always there for us. Be with us now, Lord, as we are getting ready to go into our worship service with John, Lord. Just guide and direct him, Lord. I pray that what he has for us through your word today, Lord, might speak to each and every one of us. We're going to take up an offer now, Lord. I just ask you to be with the gift and the givers who do so. Be with us later, Lord, during our fellowship. And thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Give me this card to read. This is from Jose Luna. I don't know if you know Jose or not. He had some heart issues here a while back. But anyway, dear friends, Jose and I are thankful for your friendship and prayers during this slow recovery time. Your gift was a surprise and very appreciated with all the extra expenses. Love in Christ, Jose and Donna Luna. So shake your hand if you see him sometime. Anyway, let's see. We're going to 812, please. Clear in the back, 812.
I heard an old story.
God. He loved him, I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, broken spirit, and somehow Jesus came and brought to me victory. Oh, victory in Jesus.
Just so, it's kind of tricky sometimes. Morning, everybody. Kay and I are going to share one of our favorites, The Savior is Waiting. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him? Waiting again.
Praise God. What a wonderful song about the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to see a nice group out this morning, and trust you're having a good experience in your walk with the Lord, and maybe are hungry today to grow in Him further. Amen? So hopefully that might be the case. And as always, every week is quite hectic, is it not? And there are many distractions and many reasons why sometimes we fail to walk with the Lord in a way that we could or should. So yes, young folks, you may go down at this time. I can't help but think whenever we sing 812 about Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, victory in Jesus, and I see Julia is here, so she's our Chicago resident now, our daughter Julia, but I can't help but think, though, you know, and this all goes along with Doug and Kay's song that they sang here, but up there in Chicago, you know, they sing some good stuff, and there are people that are saved there regularly, but there are so many people that resist. And the last time we went up by train, I had a few panhandlers come up to me at Union Station, and I gave them a little bit of money, but I also gave them a tract, and I told them, if you're in real trouble, just go down the street about five blocks, down Canal Street to Pacific Garden Mission. I knew the one guy knew of it, but I could also see in his eyes he was resisting because he didn't want to respond to the message that they always hear down there. Anyway, maybe that's the case with someone here today. You're resisting God. Well, this is a day to let go and let Him in. And we'll find that this all fits today with our message, which will be out of John chapter 10. The title of it is Attributes and Actions That Identify Jesus as the Good Shepherd. One of those attributes and actions is the door. And Doug mentioned that in the singing, Kay, this morning. We need to open the door and let Him come in. Anyway, it's good to be with you this morning. Just a couple things before we go to prayer. I still am experiencing some phone troubles, and Al had tried to call me last night, and that did not come up till this morning. If that happens and I don't respond within reasonable time, try again. Do what you can. I don't know. It's not just me. It's other people, too, that I've talked to are having messages and things come late onto the phone. I have no idea what's going on with that. I also want to invite you back tonight. We'll be speaking out of Romans chapter 11. For many of you, just to make you aware, if you are studying your Bible, Romans 9 deals with Israel's past, Romans 10 with its future or presence, and Romans 11 deals with Israel's future. So I have had some questions about that. How does Christianity fit with Judaism? Are we somehow related? Yes. But they are still lost, and Jesus is the only way, and that's how we can be brought back into fellowship with God, through Jesus the Good Shepherd. So come tonight, the Bible will answer some of those questions and give us all clarity and increased clarity as to how things work. Also, Kathy Schomer has fallen this past week and broken her shoulder. I know she'd love to have someone stop in and say hi to her. She told me she's 96 years old. Wow. So they're up there in the towers, and Jack and Kathy have been a part of our flock for a good many years, even though they're not able to get out any further. But please pray for that situation and be willing to help them. Well, Psalm 156 says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." I was blessed as I was getting my self together there and hearing the young folks singing that this morning. That blessed my heart. So let's praise the Lord today, shall we? We have in song, but hopefully from your heart today and everything that we do, let's bring Him praise and glory. He's do it, isn't He? Yeah, He sure is. Anyway, with that said, we're going to take just a few moments to pray, and then we'll dig into the scriptures. Is there anything that I've neglected to mention today that needs to be brought forth? All right. Well, let's take a short time now, a silent prayer. Speak to the Lord. I'll follow with a short pastoral prayer, and we'll get right into our text today and feed on the Word. Let us pray. Oh God, our Father, we thank you once again for your love for us and your grace and mercy that yet prevail today, and for that wonderful and most wondrous gift of salvation that was given freely, yet at the cost of God in the flesh having to come and pay the penalty for our sins, and then give us the shedding of his blood, Lord, to cover our sins, and the guarantee of the resurrection to a new life for eternity with Jesus in his very presence. And so we thank you today again and praise you for this and for much more and all of your worthiness. Lord, help us to worship you today because indeed you are worthy and that this is a heartfelt thing that we have acknowledged. Lord, we know that that is pleasing to your throne. When we acknowledge that, we acknowledge our helplessness, but also the fact that you are helpful to us in every way. And so we want to draw closer to you today, Lord, and we thank you for this opportunity to worship you from our hearts with joy and praise. And Lord, that may that be the case, that all of us that draw breath here today, that we would praise your name within our hearts and verbally as well, Lord. And we thank you for this opportunity to gather. We know that the gathering of the church is ordained and it is beneficial, Lord, for all of us, the body of Christ. And we're here today, Lord, for various reasons. First of all, to worship and praise you, but also, Lord, to be challenged from your word, to either draw closer to you or to help us understand that we have shortcomings and that we need to yield and change. And so we thank you today, Lord, that you are that ever faithful good shepherd waiting to hold us as your lambs in your arms. So we pray today, Lord, if there would be one in our number who has never yet placed their sins on under your blood today and been forgiven, Lord, that that would be the case, that new life would be afforded today, that a new walk with you might be a part of what might take place today. We thank you too, Lord, for the opportunity to have some food together here in a short while and to just enjoy each and everyone's company. I pray today, Lord, that everyone would circulate around a little bit and get to know something new about someone, maybe that they've never really visited with before, that we could experience the true fellowship of the body of Christ known as the church. Now, Lord, today we know that many things have taken place in the last week since we've met. But we pray, Father, once again for those that are here, but also for those that are not. And we always remember our community, Lord, and all the things that are going on in all these homes in our area here that we have a potential influence in. I pray, Father, that they would notice today that we've gathered and notice the cars here. And, Lord, that you would poke their hearts about that and cause them to think, should I be there? Do I need to know about God? And I pray, Lord, that you would cause that conviction to come upon them, but also that we would be a vibrant work here and ready to share that gospel. So we thank you for the opportunities we've had in the week past and for those that may yet come in your grace to accomplish these things for you, Lord. Empower us and help us, Lord, in this most wonderful calling that has come directly from your almighty hand. As I said, Lord, there's a lot going on in people's lives, people that are injured, some that are ill physically, others that are spiritually suffering today. Who knows, Lord, other than you, what's in the hearts of humanity? But we thank you today that you are ever present and ever willing to listen and ever willing to work in our lives if we'll but yield to you. Now, Lord, I acknowledge before you today, as I said to Kim today, I'm not on the top of my game. And this is not a game that I'm playing here. I don't mean that, Lord. But what I mean is some days we just don't, we're not where we could be. But Lord, I'm just going to count on you to help me through this and that the words that are in your word would be appropriately spoken forth, Lord, that this message might accomplish what the Holy Spirit's will is here in the lives of people, despite my shortcomings. So Lord, I acknowledge that. I acknowledge my need for your help. And I just pray this today it would be a challenge for all of us, Lord, that we would grow in you. And so I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends in Christ, Jesus made many attempts and he used many methods to illustrate who he was to Israel and its religious leaders, which is summed up well in the preceding chapter from where we're going to look at this morning, John chapter 9. And, of course, Jesus had several nemeses, or that influences that were used of Satan to try to trip up Jesus as God. Satan, you're delusional. You're not going to trip God up. But it was the Pharisees in this case that Jesus was wrangling and tangling with. I'll use that terminology. They were always there. And again, he was trying to tell them, hey, I'm here to deliver Israel. I am the Son of God. I am God. My Father and I are one. And we see that soon to follow this text that we're looking at here this morning in particular, that he tells them that yet again. And just as I alluded to with the residents up in Chicagoland around Pacific Garden Mission, and again, I'm not endorsing everything about them, but I'm saying I believe faithfully for way over 100 years, they have faithfully been proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to the needy people in Chicago. Unshackled's their radio program. I think Pastor Kwiatkowski preaches on Saturday. He used to on Saturday evenings on one of the channels that you get over the air. Yeah. Phil Kwiatkowski, yeah. And we used to go up there and take regular trips. They've spoken down here. We're not in a position anymore to take a bus, but I'd love to ride along. I'm not going to drive anymore on something like that like I used to in my younger days when I could see better, but I'd love to go up again. But it's a real-life situation, and sometimes the people up there get desperate, such as in cold weather. By the way, thank God this last week, in spite of the coldness, that we didn't have a snowpack, because we'd have heard a lot of this. No start. We would have been well in the area of 30 below zero if we had a heavy snowpack in the kind of conditions we had. But people get desperate, and when they get real desperate, they may go to get a meal. They may endure sitting in a preaching service or going to counseling at that facility there in Chicago. Usually they sleep over 1,200 people every night in the winter. Yeah, and feed them. And none of it's done with government help. It's all done by God's people. And I encourage you, to give to that. Kim and I do as best we can. But the bottom line is, most of the people that go through those doors, at least from what people know, don't make a profession of faith. But some do. And some really don't want to hear it, but they're desperate. But folks, let me tell you, there's a lot of desperate people out there, and there could be desperate people in here today. We need Jesus, and we continue to not realize that he has offered himself to us as the great shepherd. And folks, with that said, we have to understand we're a bunch of sheep. And I've illustrated that many times as I preach on these texts, but sheep have a lot of problems. And we have a lot of problems, but we have a shepherd, a great shepherd, who loves us and has solutions. I want you to know that today. Jesus told the Pharisees in verse 39 of the preceding chapter, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see." Listen to that carefully. "Those that see not might see." Now, the Pharisees likely had perfect eyesight, or at least they were able to operate. They could read the scriptures, expound on the scriptures, and yet they didn't get the scriptures. Maybe there'd be one like that here today. I can confess to you, I don't always get all the things in scripture. And as I learn and study and grow, God says, "Oh, I never saw that before." He is opening our eyes, our spiritual eyes, if we'll allow him to do that and listen to him. So he says, "I came that they which see not might see." By the way, he was talking to the Pharisees, those that don't know, again, that they might find the right answers through him. And then he says, "And those that see, or that think they see and know, might be made blind." And the Pharisees certainly were that way as well. And he offered them to give them sight, but he also knew that what he had to say would fall on deaf ears and blind eyes. They would not see even though they thought they were seeing. Be careful, my friends. If you think you've got it all right, you might be wrong. We need to come back to the basics with the Lord and be sure that we're right. Anyway, Jesus and Scripture use the analogy of sheep to humanity. I've already mentioned to you. I see a perfect correlation there. I see it in myself. Sheep are really an animal that is just beyond belief. I've used this illustration in its real life, again, to some of you that have worked with sheep, but I can't tell you the times that I went daily down to the pasture, especially when it was short. And we had netted fence. If some of you have never understood what that is, it's fence that has the little rectangles or squares, and it's made out of woven wire. And usually the squares or rectangles are about this far apart by that high. They're just big enough that a sheep who is hungry for the better grass on the other side of the fence can go through with their ears folded back. The streamlining of head first through that little square. But when it came time for them to come back out of that grass eating, usually an overnight was involved, there I would see a few ewes with their heads stuck in the fence, because when the ears come out, kind of like mine from cauliflower ear from wrestling, you can't get your head back through the square. And so you had to go out there and do it. And I confess to you folks, there were days that I thought, you stupid sheep, I'd just let you sit here. Maybe you'll learn. But you know what? They wouldn't have learned. Because what would they have done? They would have perished. They would have died. See, it really is the same with us. We can get very disgusted with each other, with people. Our world today, there isn't hardly a day that Kim and I don't comment and say, I don't know how this continues to hang together anymore. People are so, say it to me, stupid. And that includes me, you know. But it does hang together because Jesus, by all, according to the book of Colossians, by him all things consist. God's not ready for it to end yet, and he has a reason, because he wants the sheep that have their heads stuck in the fence to get their heads pulled back by a shepherd and back into the place that they need to be and to grow and to come under his care. That's what Jesus wants. Al, you mentioned essentially that same thing to me this morning. God's not done till he's done, and that's his program. He's seeking lost sheep as the great shepherd. Anyway, the analogy of sheep, fragile, stupid, vulnerable, you add all the descriptions you like if you've ever worked with sheep, that those who know sheep would identify and open their blind eyes to the plight of humanity. And I've just illustrated that to you here briefly. The point of John chapter 10 is that Jesus uses the caretaking of sheep and the role of the shepherd to open the eyes of the blind Pharisees. Do you think Jesus wanted those Pharisees to be delivered, to be saved? Yes, he did. He loved the Pharisees, but he in his foreknowledge knew that they would not be, at least some, although some did come to know him, didn't they? Yeah. One of those was given to us further back in the book of John, John chapter 3, a guy named Nicodemus. Yeah. Anyway, my question is today, who today may never have understood that Jesus is the great shepherd? Well, I think most of you probably have heard this at least, but have you truly received it? I always have to make that known because that's what I'm here for, to be sure that we understand to the best that we can what the message is here that Jesus has for us. Who might never have known him that might be here today? It could be. And for those that do, may we be reassured of his care. Maybe there's one here today that says, you know, I feel distant from God today. I have those times. And I know this, though, that the Good Shepherd, after we see his attributes in Scripture today, we can know for sure that he cares and he loves us and he wants the best for us. We can be reassured of his care as his lamb. So let's go into the passage this morning, John chapter 10. Now, the first five verses here, I have 3 points to this message today, but the first point is simply this. Jesus presents himself to the Pharisees in a common sense parable. I don't believe the Bible is hard to be understood if we're willing to let the Spirit teach us. But most of the Bible is very plain if we'll understand the context that it comes in. And what Jesus was speaking here that was recorded to the Pharisees, this concept that he was giving of himself being several things here, the door, the great shepherd, so forth, as we'll walk through this, were not to be hidden from the Pharisees, even though we read the verse. It was going to be because of their blindness, but it was something they could have grasped. Folks, I believe Jesus is near to all of us if we're willing to approach Him. And He is there, and He will show us and demonstrate to us who He is. So Jesus presents Himself to the Pharisees in a common sense parable to His target audience in hopes they will what? Get it. He's talking to these guys. By the way, the Pharisees were not the least educated people around in those days. They were some of the most educated people. Let me tell you this today, folks. If you're filled with the wrong kind of education, you might have all kinds of degrees and every kind of accolade humanity and academia can convey upon you. But if you don't have the ability to simply understand the simplicity of what God is saying to you today, folks, you're in big trouble. You're like a sheep. You may be an educated what? That's a sad position to be in today, folks. Jesus was trying to reach a target audience. He loved the Pharisees as He loves everyone. So Jesus says right away here in this passage, and you can back up into chapter 9 and read about this, but Jesus again says, verily, verily, in the King James. What's the word veritas in the Greek is what you'd find there. Truth. We know one thing about Jesus, and let this be known this morning. What Jesus says is the truth, because He is the truth and the life and the way, John 14:6. And so He says, I'm telling you the truth here, boys. I'm saying to you, he that entereth, He's talking here in the context of sheep, because everyone understood that in that territory. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now, doors are used for what? You can respond to this. Well, to keep enemies out, to keep security within so that people cannot stray out. In our day with all our kids at home, Julia, you might remember this, but what did I say a lot when I saw doors, whether it was hot or cold? Shut! No, not your mouth, but shut the doors. Kinsley Fayeth, what do I tell you in the summer all the time when it's hot and the flies are abundant? Shut the door. Doors keep things in, doors keep things out. When it's cold weather, shut the door. But Jesus' message is what? Think about how you get in and out of things and open the door in the case, and He's going to illustrate here later that He is in fact the door. So He talks to these folks here, and He says, this is common sense. Sheep come in through the door. If something comes across the wall, or it's a thief or a robber that comes in some other way, then you know what? There's danger, there's an imposter, something here is wrong. Verse 2. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, because the door is a controlled access point to a sheepfold. Now, I don't know how many of you have studied what a sheepfold is, but it certainly is a place of security. It's a place of feeding. It's a place, again, where people have accountability for the sheep in the sense of the great shepherd. You can make all kinds of analogies, but it's a central focus that we would know as a place of safety and security that is fixed, that has measures that will keep us safe and secure. And, of course, that's the door. So we always know that if people enter in some other way from the door, they're up to a sinister motive. And again, a genuine shepherd uses the door. They're going to take the sheep out through the door, bring the sheep back in through the door, and they're going to enter or exit through the door. No shepherd in his right mind is going to climb over the wall. Why would you do that? Makes no sense. They're not going to do things that are different. Okay, they're going to do things in the way that it should be done, because every day the sheep can know that the shepherd will always enter and exit. They will always enter and exit through a door. If you try to take any livestock in a strange place or in a strange way, you're going to have trouble. Hogs, I don't care though what weather or what was going on with them or what patterns you had, they were always chaos. But sheep and cattle and many other forms of livestock, they like routine. It's like with milking. If you were always there faithfully with your cows day in and day out at the same time, you went through the same procedures, The cows had an order as they came into the barn. They developed that through time. If anything disrupted that, they were on guard. And you could tell it. They were nervous. If you had someone new that was there taking care of them, it will disrupt your milk production. Because they like to have routine. They like to have safety and security. Folks, the sheepfold was that to sheep in Israel, along with a shepherd that was caring for them in a loving, routine, reliable way. We all like that, don't we? I tell Kim this whenever I sub in school. I have a little pit in my stomach every day because you never really know what's going to happen. Now, we don't in life in general, but we do in our security with the Lord. But we always are a little bit apprehensive of what might take place. Well, let us know this, folks. When we enter through the door, who is Jesus, we need not be apprehensive about how he's going to handle us, because he's going to take care of us as a shepherd, whether it be things that we need straightened out on. He may have to put his crook around our neck, or if he's going to guide us and keep us safe from the enemy, from the prey, he will take care of us. Hallelujah. Amen. Because of that. So, a genuine shepherd will use the door. Verses 3 and 4. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. The word porter here in the King James Version just means a gatekeeper. The shepherd is not the gatekeeper necessarily in a sheepfold. There is someone that's assigned to do that very thing, but they operate by the commands of the shepherd, whether to open or close the door. And so I'm thinking the Pharisees are sitting here listening to Jesus say, They knew this stuff. They weren't sheep farmers, but they knew the concept because it was big stuff. But they weren't getting it. So, the shepherd runs the show, and the sheep depend on that, as it says here. They hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth, in verse 4, his own sheep, he goeth where? Before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. By the way, friends, if you're a lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ, let him lead. You know his voice. You know how to respond. You know our position. We need to follow Jesus. The gatekeeper knows to open only to the genuine shepherd, and he is also confirmed because the sheep know his voice. The true sheep are going to follow the shepherd. One more illustration, and I need to keep moving. Some of you probably heard this before. And Kinsley, you would back this up. But when I had sheep years ago, when the sheep heard the truck start at the house, they knew that every morning I would be down to give them corn. By the way, Kinsley, you heard this from me before with your dad. When the cows are out, you feed your cattle some corn every morning so you can get them used to coming up and getting the ability to count them and check them every day. But the sheep would be lined up at the troughs for corn when they heard the truck start. But if for some reason I didn't come with the truck to feed them, they wouldn't recognize that. If I came down the road on a tractor, then I'd have to call the sheep up to have their corn. And this is how I called them. Come sheep! Come sheep! Come sheep! And I'd hear the foot beats. And I quickly got the corn in the troughs and got out of there before they knocked me down and so forth, you know, to do it. But they know what's going on because they have a dependable shepherd. Jesus brought this to the Pharisees. Sheep are skeptical of strangers, and this is what Jesus wanted the Pharisees to grasp, that they were following a stranger. And who was that stranger they were following? Satan, absolutely, Woodrow. And he was posing as an imposter, as the true shepherd. Folks, be very careful of who you follow. You know that I've said this many times among lots of things that I've said. I don't endorse any pastors, including myself. Sheep, and I'm a sheep, know who you're following. And I'm telling you, follow the great shepherd. Now, a pastor is an under-shepherd for his flock, for God's flock. But just be very careful. Think about that. Dependability, security, You make sure that you know that the voice of the shepherd is speaking the voice of what the Lord Jesus Christ has to offer. Be very careful about that. Now, verse 6, and then we'll move on here under this first point. The parable, well, wait, did I read the rest of this? His sheep goeth before them, the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Be sure to listen to the voice of the good shepherd. Verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they what? I don't get it. They understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Was there any reason that they shouldn't have understood this? Well, just the fact that they were blinded. They were following a different shepherd. And they didn't, even though they could understand this, it didn't strike home with them. Well, that brings us to point two. These Pharisees would agree with the point of what Jesus illustrated, but now would be challenged to see him in that role. So now Jesus is going to make it even more clear. By the way, do you think Jesus gives second chances? And third chances? And fourth and fifth? And for many of us, I don't like to use that word chance because nothing's by chance with God, but I'll use the word opportunities. I've had a lot of opportunities with things before I've gotten them right, and I'm still not right. And neither are you, very likely. Can we admit that today? We need to get tuned in with a shepherd. Yeah. So they would have agreed with what Jesus said, but it didn't strike home with him. Do we get it? Well, let's look through this quickly. Then Jesus said unto them again, and he'd spoken about a door earlier, but now what's he say? Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door. By the way, you could preach a sermon on the I ams of John. But how did God explain himself to Moses? When Moses said, who are you? I am that I am. And Jesus here, as God, is saying, I am the door, not a door, the door. Okay? It's very interesting how he lays this out. I am the door of the sheep. So he's implying here, Pharisees, you're sheep, I'm a door. And what he's going to illustrate is that he is God, and the way that we can get into true fellowship, into God's sheepfold, is only by going through the door, the entry and exit point. I had something else I was going to say and I've forgotten now. But anyway, he goes on to tell them in verse 8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Okay? He's talking here about the Pharisees. If they would have grasped this, he's saying, you bunch of false teachers. You've had the scriptures and the history of the scriptures in your hand, and you know that a person like me has been prophesied for centuries. And I'm as plain as day, but you cannot see me. You do not hear me. I'm hiding in plain sight, even though Jesus wasn't hiding, but he was hidden from the Pharisees. And so he's literally telling them there, you guys are the thieves and the robbers. You're trying to direct people into the sheepfold, including yourselves, by the wrong ways. And it shows. Okay? I am the door. I'm the only way, he says, to safety and security through him and well-being. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Or Acts 4:12, which tells us that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the exclusive way. There are no other ways. But the world tells us consistently to go up over the wall or to find another way as a thief and a robber, that there's many ways to eternal security and to an eternal home. But the Bible's very clear. Jesus is very clear. He is the only door. There are no other doors in the sheepfold except himself. Verse 9, a lot of times repetition helps people get things, or it bores them. Maybe someone this morning's bored here already. I understand what that's like. You can smell the good food. By the way, Kim and I will not be able to stay with you today because we have the family and so forth. But we'll be thinking of your fellowship today. Jesus tells him again in verse 9, what? I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be, and here's the word, saved. Saved is a word that trips a lot of people up today. What do you mean by this being saved stuff? Well, use a different word then. What that word saved really means is rescued. Think about it yourself. If there's some cataclysmic event that you're facing, your car's headed for a cliff and the brakes are out, but a tree falls in your path and stops the car, you were saved. You were rescued. And that's really where we are in our plight, for headed for hell by default. Jesus intervened and rescued us, delivered us, saved us. That's what we need to explain to people. And that's what he was explaining to the Pharisees. He says, you will be saved again if you enter in by me, the door, and shall go in and out and find pasture. We're rescued once again, and we're given freedom and feeding and care in Christ when we allow him to rescue our life. He repeats himself again here in verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, who would want that? Why would the Pharisees not say, I don't want that? And yet, we know that the end of this discourse, it didn't change them one bit. Has that message of rescue touched your life today? I am come that they might have life, and read it with me, class, here, and that they might have it. Now, in my Wilton English classes, that word more means what? It's an adjective. But also, the word abundantly is a hard thing to comprehend for us sometimes, but abundance has the idea of what? Wonderful resources that are given to us. And Jesus adds to it, and he says, even more than what we need, or what, you know, is just the status quo, but it's the good stuff. That's what you get when you come through the door into the sheepfold. Now Jesus says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. There's another adjective that's used there. Jesus is an unbelievably quality shepherd. He is the perfect shepherd. He is the one, once again, who is above all others and the example for all shepherding. He says here, the good shepherd does what? He giveth his life for the sheep. That's the difference between a good shepherd and a bad shepherd. A good shepherd will seek the lost, the one out of the 99 that's lost. He will give his life rather than let the wolf or the attacker, whatever the case may be there, come and consume the sheep. Folks, Jesus is the good shepherd. He gave his life for the sheep. That's us, that we might be secure in the sheepfold of God. There's a way that we can know the difference between the two, whether they're genuine, whether they're legit, or whether they're truly a shepherd of God. We look to the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus illustrates this here in verses 12 and on. He says, but he that is a hireling. What's a hireling? A hireling is someone that has taken a J-O-B, a job. And when they are hired, they are looking for what in their hiring? Compensation, exactly, Lonnie. Yeah. You know, every person I ever hired when I was in businesses had one of the same questions. How much do I get paid? When do I get a raise? And when are my time, days off, and vacation and benefits? Now, this is a big thing here, folks. Understand, everyone has to be able to live. And there are many admonitions in the scripture about how a under-shepherd is compensated. But here's a couple key things here, and that's for all of us to discern. But he that is a hireling, or one that is just there for a job and is not a genuine shepherd, which is implied here, whose own the sheep are not, in other words, he's just there to do the job. They're not really his. Seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. They don't want to deal with the severity of the attacker and to stand in front of the sheep and defeat the attacker. They're going to run. They're going to take their money and run. That's one of the indications. Verse 13, the hiring fleeth because he is a hired person. He's just in it, and it's his job, and he does not care for the sheep. That's how you'll know the difference. Can that ever happen in the office, the pastoral office? Yes, it can. But one thing that you must remember, and as you deal with me or with who may be my successor at some point, this is not a job. This is a calling. And that's a really big difference, because if you are doing it as a job, it's going to be known. But if you were called of God, you'll know there was a purpose in it. And that shepherd will hang in there through good times and bad. And he will care for that flock. And let me tell you, Jesus hung in there through the good times and bad. Amen? And he loves his flock. He loves his sheep. Jesus comes back and says here, look at me, boys, to the Pharisees. What have I done? By the way, did Jesus ever do anything wrong? Did he ever sin here in his ministry here on earth? He not only did not sin, he could not sin. Jesus could hold himself up as an example to these guys who thought they were without sin and say, boys, I'm the example. Look at what I've done in my 3.5 year ministry. Look at how I came. Look at what's taken place. Of course, his 3.5 years weren't quite up yet at this point. But he says here again, look at me. I am this shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep and am known of mine. By the way, Jesus already had some sheep in his fold at this time. And that was his disciples and others that he had saved or rescued along the way. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. They were going to see this happen soon when he went to the cross. He proved how much he loved us by going to the cross. He didn't have to, did he? He did it voluntarily because he is the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. And then Jesus gives the Pharisees a little extra here. In verse 16, and he says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. You know, and I'm not staying on my message here and on my notes as I should, but Jesus did not come for the non-Jews initially. If you look in Matthew 10:6 or 15:24, you'll find that Jesus came, it's recorded, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus wants a personal relationship again with his sheep, and he wants to prove this out to us daily in our walk with him, that he loves us and that he indeed is our shepherd. But who he was referring to in verse 16 is the fact that because of what the Pharisees were doing here as the prototype of Israel, so to speak, or the antitype, whatever the right word is there, he says, you know what? There's other people that are going to receive me. I'm not just here for Israel because you're going to reject me, but I'm here for the non-Jew too. That's the Gentile. That's very likely all of our ethnicities in this room. I don't know that for sure. But he says, I've got another fold. Them also I must bring, that they shall hear my voice, and there shall be, catch it there? One fold. We'll hear that tonight when we look at Romans 11. Believers today have only one way to enter the fold, whether they come from a Jewish background, ethnicity, or a non-Jewish ethnicity, and that is through Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Jesus is saying here, this proves the love of my Father, because I will not just be sacrificed, but I will what? I will be resurrected. He sent me on a mission to accomplish, to draw the sheep. And the proof of that is the resurrection. Folks, nothing like that has ever been recorded before or will be again until believers are raised and the resurrection to confirm what Jesus has already done. No man taketh it from me. He voluntarily laid it down of his own doing. And I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again, he tells the Pharisees. Just a few more words. This commandment have I received of my Father. If you read on there, he says, there was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? And others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? The point of all this today, folks, is this, the third point. The message to the Pharisees and the other lost sheep that exist today in our world. Do you believe that Jesus is the good shepherd? Well, amen, I've heard that. But that's what we need to ask ourselves today. Do you get it? And then the second question is, are you one of his sheep? Have you trusted the great shepherd? Do you know that you're securely in his fold? By the way, it's not a religious experience. It's a God experience. When we acknowledge our sin, we acknowledge the Savior, and we ask him to deliver us, to save us. Because we understand that because of our sin and our default position, we are headed for eternal punishment for our sin. But Jesus took it for us. And what we must do is accept it, to believe what he did, and see that it was guaranteed in his resurrection, just as the scriptures predicted and said. So are you one of his sheep? Or maybe someone today is like the Pharisees, still rejecting him. I'm telling you, folks, we are the judges on this. You need and I need to know where we're at. We have the ability to answer that question. Are you a lamb in his arms for safekeeping today? I won't go there this morning, but Isaiah 40:11 has the idea that Jesus holds the lambs in his arms. You know, whenever I hear that sung in the Messiah, I've come to tears. That Jesus is holding me as a gentle, tender lamb in his safe and loving arms. He holds us with his arms. The arms of God hold the sheep. The arms of the great shepherd hold the sheep. Are you safely in his arms today for safekeeping? And then I won't read this either, but you know it, Psalm 23. Yeah, think about that. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah. Think about that. The gentle, good shepherd. Yeah. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he today? Is he yours? Folks, are you a lamb in his arms for safekeeping? But know this in closing, he is gentle and he is kind and he loves us dearly and he is waiting with open arms if you're a lamb apart from him today. Thank you for your good attention. Jesus is good. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand if you're able. 496.
He surrendered. That's really where it's at. We must come to a point to be saved where we say, I can't do it. I'm on the wrong track. I've got to surrender to Jesus. Today, folks, if you're not a lamb in his arms, surrender. Let him pick you up. And the Bible says he'll be gentle. He'll be kind to us. It's a beautiful relationship. We cannot be lost. We're safe for all eternity. Once you come here today and surrender, let's sing that first verse today before we're dismissed. You surrender today to him.